40 days.
Okay, it's 6 o'clock. Can we call order?
Dr. Good.
Present.
Mr. Nagy.
Yes.
Mrs. Rohr.
Here.
Mr. DeAngelis.
Here.
Mrs. Fenn.
Present.
Okay, moment of silence, and then followed by a pledge of allegiance. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Perfect, thank you. All right, moving into adoption of the agenda. I need a motion.
Here.
Move.
War friend.
Yep.
I'll do second.
Yep.
DeAngelis.
Yes.
Fenn.
Yes.
Good.
Yay.
Nagy.
Yes.
Rohr.
Yes.
Moving into approval of the minutes, I have a resolution to approve the minutes of the regular board meeting of June 10th, 2019. A copy of which is attached here too, incorporated herein. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Second?
Here.
Fenn?
Yes.
Good?
Yeah.
Nagy?
Yes.
Rohr?
Yes.
DeAngelis?
Yes. Second resolution to approve the minutes from the board workshop session meeting June 24th, 2019. Copy of which is attached here too, incorporated herein. Do I have a motion?
Here.
Second.
Good.
Yay.
Nagy.
Yes.
Rohr.
Yes.
DeAngelis.
Yes.
Fenn.
Yes.
Okay, moving into superintendent's report.
Hey, facilities, start with the stadium. First thing with the stadium is they've gotten the topsoil off. We are starting to put in drainage pipe. It's moving forward pretty well. Contractor was happy that once he got underneath there and the sun actually hit the clay, that it just got hard right from the start and baked it in pretty good, so he's not worried about the sub base at all. We had some concerns about where the water flow was. They ran some dye through all the drains that they found, and everything ended up by the ticket booth sooner or later. But it does drain off the road that comes across the street from the park. That road does drain down to the stadium, catches a catch basin that has not been cleaned out in years. We cleaned it out, ran water through it and dye, and it came through on the other side of the football field, but it was totally clogged. What they found, it was just so much clay and topsoil, it never actually sank down and got all the way down to the ground level. It just stayed on top. And I said, that's part of the reason with your topsoil. It's good topsoil, but it was so much clay mixed in it that it literally just sat. It had nowhere to run. It didn't run through the clay. And he goes, that's why it was so soggy and real soft in spots. He goes, water just puddled, even though you couldn't see it. But they are happy and moving along. After all the rains, they thought it was going to be 2 weeks behind. Now we're back on schedule, pending getting in the drainage and everything going on and the turf showing up on time. And installers and all of that stuff, but we're back on schedule. Now, went through the walkthrough today, and we spent an hour and a half on two big items trying to figure out who we wanted to blame. So, let me get to that. The sidewalks had some pit marks in it where it looks like it's scraped off or it's peeling away the concrete. So, contractor said we put the wrong salt on it. The response to the contractor was, we use the same salt because you told me you use the same concrete through all the sidewalks. We use the same salt on the sidewalks. So how can 90% of the concrete still be fine and 10% be bad? Then it was high traffic areas. The problem is the most traffic goes through the activity end of the building where 500 kids come in from the parking lot and the buses and then exit out of there, and then people come in at night, and we probably double salt that area, and guess what? We have
that's
no problem with cement. The concrete there. He's correcting me every time I said cement. Concrete. So they did write a proposal and got back up. My investigation shows it would take me $5,000 to $6,000 to get a core sample to prove that the cement was wrong. And if the cement's not wrong, we eat the cost, and we fixed all the cement. We fixed all the concrete. The concrete was wrong, and we fixed all the concrete. Or I have to prove that the subcontractor that I did not hire, that we did not hire, that we did not supervise, actually did his job correctly. I met with a concrete guy that I know pretty well who said if you overmix it on your top layer or get too hard, this is what it looks like. Since I would be unable to prove that, we are negotiating a one-third, one-third, one-third agreement where the contractor will pick up the third, the district will pick up the third, and OFCC will pick up a third of the cost of the concrete, and we're going to cut out three different areas. One where the teachers enter up over there is probably the worst, and that doorway over there, over by the auditorium doors that we never use, the back doors that we never use there, and out front in the front part of the building, in front of the flagpole, out to there. They will cut it out along the joints and go through that and replace. And so we're looking for hard numbers on that and what it will look like. But they would cut that in. And the problem is we'll have to make a decision quickly on that agreement so we can have it all ready for the start of school. So that was the preliminary walkthrough. The thermostats that have been a problem at the high school is they believe were user errors, that there was a set point, and the set point, they may have set the set point and not reset it when they wanted it cooler from when it was hot, because just hitting the arrow button down from 74 to 68 is not exactly how you run the thermostat in a classroom building. You actually have to create a set point for that. So there's a set point that we're going to have to go through, and we're going to get training video on that that I'll be able to send out to the staff to do that. But everything was, when they hit the set point and then when measured the air, it was coming out in the air that they said it was that. They asked for 72, it came out 72. They went to 76, it came out 76. And we went around from classroom to classroom, and they were able to do that. But it's not as simple as a thermostat you have in your house and you just click the arrows down. It doesn't work that way.
Yeah, who would know that? I mean, I wouldn't know that. Would you know that?
I didn't know
okay.
that either.
Oh, well, okay.
The projectors, which were a big problem for our instructional staff there, is there's an aspect ratio. So if you adjust the aspect ratio, much like on your TV, 16:9:4:3, cinema, cinema wide, cinema standard, you're able to adjust it, but you're not able to adjust the projector. So when you adjust the aspect ratio, the keyboard is not actually adjusted, so you may be pressing T. What letters beside T?
Yes. I don't know.
R, Y.
Goes up on the screen because that is not adjusted to the aspect ratio. It's a normal. So it looks like you're pushing it, and you can literally put your hand on the T, but the L is coming up because it's a letter next to it because it doesn't adjust to the aspect ratio. So we have to lock in the aspect ratio. Get every teacher to please don't touch the aspect ratio, and then it will work fine. And with that, and what happened, when they adjusted the aspect ratio, you would have a teacher to go to the board and withdraw something and go to move away. Because of the aspect ratio, it was actually picking up the movement, and it looked like he was writing something else on the screen. It all started all the way back there. We literally changed out two USB ports. One was in the music room, one was another teacher's room, and it seemed to solve all the problems. And the math software problem was truly an aspect ratio. It all came back to that. So they believe they have that all solved, and they showed Sean how to get it back to the standard. But we can't adjust that. Even though it's adjustable, we can't adjust it. So I hate to say this, but that took 3.5 hours.
but by gum, you got to the bottom of that.
I learned a new term, the VAV box, better known as the variable air volume. It comes through and there's bolts that come down on top, and then you're supposed to pipe dough these bolts and put them all in at the same time. And then the pipe dough contracts to this area. It came out of the factory where they were pipe doughed, and then on Thursday weren't put in till Tuesday, and so they don't work. And so we've had leaks in all of these boxes. We have over 100 in the building and got moisture in these boxes. So at their cost, the control guy is coming out and they're going to fix this, and they have to go through every box. They have to touch every one. They're starting Monday to do this, and these things are being shipped. They're supposed to be there, arrive Monday morning, stayed in the container, put the pipe dough on these coils so it doesn't leak into the building from there, and that seems to should solve that leaking problem through the HVAC that we're seeing in spots that are coming around. It's not actually anything wrong with the roof. It's actually in these control boxes, variable air boxes, over 100 of them. So what they will do is they'll go up, remove the ceiling tile, take this out. The coolant comes out of it. They have to catch it in the barrel in this cup. They'll close it back up, hand the cup to the next guy, go back up and replace those bolts with the bolts out of the sealed box and put them back in there. Then they'll take the coolant back to the filtration center and dump it back in there. And they'll have to repeat this
100 times.
Over 100 different times.
Better them than us.
So, outside of that, we had, Matt and I had over 80 things on our punch list for them to take a look at. We got everything fixed in the kitchen. The outside, the cutter V guards, there's a couple spots where the pitch is so much on the roof and so much water comes down, it hits and goes over top. So we're gonna get those installed. They're circle covers they have on the light boxes. It's just pretty much a half click of a turn. If you get enough pressure on it, you can turn them out of there. Some of those are missing. We're gonna look into installing, but you gotta have them so they can get to the bolts that actually hold the light down. I didn't quite understand that piece, but I asked if we can make them permanent, and the answer was no. They can't be permanent in case they have to get to the bolts to take the light post down. So it's a half turn to take the thing off to get to this bolt nut that's that big around to take it off, but we can't make them permanent. So it'll be a never-ending battle. You may be able to paint over them enough that nobody will notice that. Sure, if I said that out loud. The gymnasium was the other piece. The wood has settled back in. We did have little clips on it. If you looked across the floor, it looked like there was a little bit of a ridge, and there was some popping in the wood. I mean, it was like 1/64th of an inch, but you could, if you dragged your foot lightly, you could get a little click and you could see it. It has settled back in. They think it goes all the way back to the HVAC box and the variable air volume, that there was too much moisture in there. It was not a user air. It's going back to the contractor. So the floor company, if the floor would happen to ripple, is going to go back to this company there. So that's an update on that building. And wow, we actually haven't gone through it with a fine-tooth comb. That's what we wanted to do, is identify and have everything identified that needed to be fixed on that piece. We also found some drainage issues where the water's draining off of the back driveway behind the building, where it comes down from the building and across the driveway. And the idea was to come down the hill and move towards the creek. Well, it's not creating its own little channel to that creek. And so that's gonna have to be adjusted. They're talking about putting a curb there to keep the water moving to a point. Not know if we have to put a catch basin there to keep it moving to a point that where we want it to go, because it's creating its own paths, which means it could get underneath, because it's higher, could get back underneath the driveway. Yeah. So those are the pieces we took place today. So much better news with the stadium. big-ticket items, we'll probably have to work out an agreement. If going back to the concrete, right now it's estimated it's a $14,000 to $15,000 job, so our piece would be a third of it. It's better than, that could be a better arrangement than investing and then trying to prove somebody wrong. And then have to own the whole thing. So you're out the five, then the 15 on top of it. So I do thank the guy, Mark Barr from the OFCC. He kind of stepped up to the plate because the contractor and I were doing, kind of spitting back and forth at each other. He was real quick to blame us, and I was real quick to blame him.
Would have liked to have seen that.
So I usually don't get that way, but short tempered today.
Good work.
So that's my updates on that piece.
Okay. Moving into public participation, please remember speakers are not permitted to address matters relating to individual students, personnel, or other matters made confidential by law. Do we have any participants? Okay, moving into the treasurer's report.
Yes, I wanted to give you an update on eFinance, the software that we're transitioning to. As you may have noticed, the first payroll last week, 7/5, was successfully paid accurately through the new system. So that is a very large hurdle that we got by. Very happy about that. It was, by design, a smaller payroll with less anomalies than during the school year, which is why this time is one of the better times to do the transition. But everything went off pretty much without a hitch. It was far better than I kind of anticipated problems, and we really didn't have any. We didn't even get nearly the amount of phone calls that we expected, so very happy about that. We do have a variety of obstacles still on the payroll side to overcome over the next 2 months, just because of the transition of how we roll contracts and new employees, et cetera, et cetera. So we still have a handful of tests ahead of us, but I'm feeling pretty confident that we will handle those. All pay stubs will be emailed, no more hand paper copies of pay stubs, and copies, electronic copies of those along with W-2s will be housed in what's called the Employee Access Center that each employee will be able to get onto to retrieve those in the future if they ever want them and, you know, they don't check their email or something to that effect.
Where's the Employee Access Center?
I'm going to get to that.
Have a create login.
On the AP side, we're still in process. That's not fully over yet. June as a month and fiscal year 19 will not be closed probably for a few weeks. We still have a handful of things I still need to post in the old system. But at the same point in time, we are processing new stuff in July in the new system. That being said, we're doing the first check run tomorrow at TCCSA. We have, again, by design, made it a very small one, just things that absolutely have to get paid. Just so that process can start and get moving, because it's very different, but it's much smoother. So, and far less manual. There's just less steps, less printing. It's fabulous. We don't have to sign things. Signature's already there. Check number. It's great. And we do have a handful of other firsts over the next 3 weeks. So similar to payroll, there are some. We're not in the clear yet, but we're certainly well on our way. Clearly, there's still extra time. Everyone has been on board, very helpful, working longer hours, very dedicated. I've been very pleased with how everyone has been stepping up when we need it, because there have been a couple times where, it's the situation of you can't leave until this is done, and there really haven't been any complaints, so it's worked out well.
Great.
That being said, Employee Access Center, another module within the software gives each employee their own individual login to go in, and they will be able to retrieve pay stubs for the entire history of being on there. So July 5th will be the first one. Prior information will not be on there. W-2s, and it will only be the current year W-2. We will transition, we'll enter a journal entry to bring over their prior year earnings, but it won't have prior pay stubs. Mm-hmm. So they're only going to get one W-2, but they'll be able to access there. So if, months from now, years from now, they need to go back and pull something, it'll be there. The Employee Access Center also gives them the opportunity to do what's called a what-if scenario, if they want to say, hey, if I change my elections on the tax side, or if, you know, they can play around and they can do a what-if to say, how will this affect my payroll? And they will also have the option in there to request direct deposit account changes and address changes. All of those are requests. They have to put it in, they enter it, so it's all coming from them, but nothing gets effective in the system until we approve it. So, especially account numbers, we won't just process any of those. We require some kind of verbal authorization for those, especially with all the crazy phishing scams that are going on. But overall, very, very pleased with how things are going. And going forward, no more paper recs are accepted. And all the ones that are currently still in process will cease to exist once they are converted to a PO. It's going to take probably 2 to 3 more weeks because we're manually entering all these suckers in. And that's terribly time-consuming, but we're getting it done. But once they go away, we will take all the old ones, all the old checks, and I'm literally going to volunteer and start a bonfire because, well, the recs, we could play around with them if we wanted to. I suppose you could do something with them. But the checks, they have check numbers on it. They have account numbers on it. We truly do need to dispose of them so they don't just linger.
Have a shredding service that will come in?
We do. But isn't the bonfire more fun?
The bonfire more fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's shredding.
There is, but we pay for it by the pound. And, you know, don't
but
we?
Could we get into the village stuff where we take a couple cans of food?
I'm unaware of that particular program. I'm not opposed to it. I'm just saying, you know, Friday night, football game, bonfire. Why not? Probably the
remember,
most
you only can... Oh, you're not in Wayne County, because in Wayne County, you only can have a fire 3 by 3 by 3.
Okay. Thanks. Thanks, Mom.
Thank you.
Right.
Linda, will you get her the information on that?
Yes, I will.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Moving into the financial recommendations by the treasurer, I have a resolution to approve the purchase of 90 Chromebooks and 3 smart charge carts for the junior senior high school from Trinity 3 Technology, totaling $28,707. Do I have a motion?
Here.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Any discussion?
Yes. Are these the same as we got for CIS? They're the same laptop, same company? Does anybody know?
I was going to say, I don't know that answer. This was all generated from Sean.
Okay,
so
I'm guessing it is.
I've got to believe, if it's not the same, it's completely compatible.
All right. Because what I learned with the ones that we got for CIS is that he can track them down, and he can turn them off, and he can do all sorts of stuff that I don't think a lot of the students and parents know.
Separate software program.
And that's why our cost is different. So that if somebody walks out with it, he can track it and turn it off. So... and get it back, do something or other. So I was very impressed that we had that capability and they just don't walk out. And he can track them. Okay.
Thank you.
Maggie?
Yes.
Roar?
Yes.
DeAngelis?
Yes.
Fenn?
Yes.
Good.
Yeah.
Okay, moving into recommendations by the superintendent. I have a resolution to approve the following tutors for the 2019-2020 school year per tutor pay scale. I have Margaret Schaefer, Jessica Busen, Taylor Kish, Elizabeth Lewis. Do I have a motion?
Here.
Did I hear a second?
I'll second.
Okay. Any discussion?
Roar.
Sorry. Go ahead.
Yes.
DeAngelis.
Yes.
Fenn.
Yes.
Good.
Yay.
Nagy.
Yes.
Okay, second resolution to approve the resignation.
Hold on. Don't we have one of our tutors here?
We do.
Yeah. And which one are you?
I'm
Beth.
She's Beth. Oh, okay. Used to
That's
work.
Beth Hajak.
Okay. Did you used to work at St. Peter and Paul's? Oh, okay, good. I've heard about you. Okay. All good. From
Thank
Casey.
You.
All good. Okay.
Beth, welcome.
Thank you. Welcome.
Welcome aboard.
Okay, second resolution to approve the resignation of Tara Files, bus driver, effective on June 28, 2019. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Second. Any discussion? Molly?
DeAngelis?
Yes.
Fenn?
Yes.
Good?
Yay.
Nagy?
Yes.
Roar?
Yes.
I have The third resolution to approve the payment of $25 per hour to the following teachers for the summer reading program at Hazel Harvey: Valerie Remineric, Joan West, Laura Noble, Mandy Bittinger, and Heidi Brudigam. Do I have a motion?
Here.
Second.
Any discussion?
I just want to say thank you. Do we have any stats on the program? How many, you know, participated and anything along that line?
Mrs. Hughes has the kids that were on the, how many kids participated in the program. Okay. I know, kind of fluctuated, I think we were in the 25 or 26 range, kind of fluctuated back and forth, but we had students that also volunteered that came in for their community service hours with NHS. We're hoping to see how much of a summer slide we should be walking back in next year.
Right.
And see how big of a difference we actually met and did. But everybody seemed to be pretty excited. It seemed to be a pretty positive program.
Good. I want to thank them for doing that. That's not easy to give up those first 3 or 4 weeks of summer.
Fenn?
Yes.
Good?
Yay.
Nagy?
Yes.
Brewer?
Yes.
DeAngelis?
Yes. Fourth resolution to approve the following staff to be moved on the salary scale for the 2019-2020 school year. I have Michael Gunter and Megan Schmitz.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion?
I just like to say thank you. I love to see teachers learning and doing more. Keep on learning. I think that sets a good precedent for our students, that you never stop learning.
Okay. Voted.
Good.
Yay.
Nagy.
Yes.
Brewer.
Yes.
DeAngelis.
Yes.
Fenn.
Yes.
Fifth resolution to approve the auxiliary service one-year contract at St. Peter and Paul for the following: Nancy Adams, Pam Douglas, Charlisk, Mary Palicki, and tutor 3.5 hours per day, 3 days a week. Do we have a motion?
Here. Second.
Discussion?
Nagy.
Yes.
Roar.
Yes.
DeAngelis.
Yes.
Fenn.
Yes.
Good.
Yay.
Sixth resolution to approve the 2021 and 2022 school calendar. This is the second reading. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion?
Roar.
Yes.
DeAngelis.
Yes.
Fenn.
Yes.
Good.
Yay.
Nagy.
Yes.
Okay, moving to seventh resolution to approve the purchase of desks and chairs for the intermediate school from Martin Public Seating, totaling $16,424.40. Do I have a motion?
Here.
Second.
Any discussion?
Yes, I have a question. Were there any other quotes obtained?
Yes. Same furniture.
And well, bottom line is this is the best deal?
Worthington Direct was $23,863.
Oh, I'm liking the $16,000.
School specialty, intermediate, they were $22,161.
I'm still liking the $16,000. How many? I don't know how many of each. I don't have that list in front of me. That was a question
what are
we asked.
For?
How many number desks order. And chairs?
That was like 90? No.
I don't understand. 60 desks, 60 chairs.
Okay.
DeAngelis.
Yes.
Fenn.
Yes.
Good.
Yay.
Nagy.
Yes.
Roar.
Yes.
Does this mean they don't need tennis balls on their chairs anymore?
Not necessarily.
You say not necessarily? Why do they do that?
Quite a bit.
Check the floor.
Save the floor.
There's a bunch of reasons, yeah.
Okay, moving to the eighth resolution to approve an agreement to implement the turnkey facility improvements and energy savings project as proposed by Energy Optimizers USA LLC for the amount not to exceed $74,337. This agreement is contingent upon the following conditions: the final project cost at or less than $74,337. Energy Optimizers USA LLC agrees to apply for the utility rebate funds. Energy Optimizers USA LLC provides verification to the district as an approved vendor for the Ohio Council of Education Purchasing Consortia LED Lighting and Energy Savings Program.
So moved.
Second.
Yeah.
What you see in front of you is I put the intermediate school stereoscope room by room. That's what would be taking place, just kind of get an idea. And I did pull their verification from Ohio Council. It's part of that, so I do have that. And I did forward that item to Mrs. Cook, so she has that also.
So it says they'll apply for the rebate, but that wasn't that part of their guarantee? They said that the rebate.
That's in there. I can't say we've already gotten one, but I got notification by email that we're going to get a rebate.
Okay.
I got that notification, so as I get them, I'll forward them on as they go.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Fenn.
Yes.
Good.
Yeah.
Nagy.
Yes.
Rohr.
Yes.
DeAngelis.
Yes. And we actually do have one executive session topic, so. I move to go in executive session for the following purpose, certain personal matters to be kept confidential.
Second.
Molly.
Good.
Yay.
Nagy.
Yes.
Rohr.
Yes.
DeAngelis.
Yes.
Fenn.
Yes.
Is there any voting coming out of this?
No.
No.
We won't be.
Okay, meeting reconvened at 7:21. Call roll.
To reconvene or to adjourn?
We have to reconvene and then we adjourn.
Good.
Present.
Nagy.
Here.
Rohr.
Here.
DeAngelis.
Here.
Fenn.
Present.
I need a motion to adjourn.
Here.
Second.
Call roll.
Good.
Yay.
Nagy.
Yes.
Rohr.
Yes.
DeAngelis.
Yes.
Fenn.
Yes.
Dr. Good. We're out.